their fundraising list for $6.5 million was additive to that. That was a good investment.
We purchased that list. And let me just say this, John, that that happens all the time in campaigns and elections, as you know.
Oh, I know. It's just a big chunk of money. That's why I was just wondering.
Well,
but he made it sound like an exceptional thing. Oh, he's sneaky. Sneaky, sneaky. Very nice.
Everyone else in the Senate candidates are raising a whole bunch of money and matching Republicans, so I just want to make sure you guys have the money.
They're not matching
as
Republicans.
Well.
There's not matching Republicans. Every Republican committee outraised their counterpart. The RNC.
Right. Not by double as with you guys in the RNC, but I...
Well, but you were just completely and totally fucking factually wrong before, though, right? Weren't you just... Didn't you just get completely fucking anally gaped here by that comment that he just made? And to be clear, I appreciate this. I think we should be able to do these types of interviews. I think this is good journalism. But it only ever happens against the center left. Only, always, only and always against the center left. So Hassan, I see here that you said you wanted to, that every Jew Zionist inbred fuck is a pig. And like, I know this is probably like out of context, right? So can you explain this, Hassan?
Yeah. Oink, oink, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Like as a joke. Yeah. So in this next out of context quote, saw you at the gym yesterday, by the way, buddy. You were looking super hot. So on this next year, like, Jesus fucking slip Christ, what the fuck is going on here? But he can do a tough interview. That's good. Just not for his friends, I guess. Fucking loser. God, fuck me, dude.
Ken Martin, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on, John. It was great to see you the other night at the Grindr party of all parties. It was amazing.
I know. I wish they hadn't run out of alcohol by the time I arrived, but that's neither here nor there. Quick bit of context for listeners. This all came about because you expressed some frustration about criticism of the DNC coming from our direction. So I appreciate you coming on to talk about it directly. I'll just say up front, we share the goal of making sure Democrats win everywhere, especially the White House in 2028. I also very much understand you've got one of the hardest jobs in politics that you took at an especially tough time for the party. But I do want to press you on some specific things because I think the stakes are too high not to. Does that sound fair?
Sounds great, John. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So I want to start with the 2024 autopsy, which you call an after-action review. When you won the chairmanship in February of 25, you criticized the DNC's refusal to release their 2016 autopsy as exactly what not to do. You said, quote, was there any utility in doing that? And then promised your 2024 autopsy would be different. Your exact quote was, of course.
Wow. Oh, so this guy does know how to do an actual challenging interview. Where the fuck was this retard when he was talking to Hassan, when he was slurping up Hassan Piker? Oh, I guess we're going to learn what an actual, like, challenging interview is. So it's not a layup question. It's a challenging question. I think it's fine in journalism to ambush people with quotes or whatever, right? To hold them accountable. But with an ambush quote to demonstrate an inconsistency that's going to be difficult to talk his way out of. Okay, so we do know how to do a challenging interview. Good job.
Of course, it will be released. Why did you change your mind on that?
Well, look, I mean, what I said all along, even when I ran for this position, is that we were going to focus on the things that will help us win the upcoming election, right? Making sure that we learn the right lessons that could help inform our victories. And that's what we've done. We said this when we sent out the press release back in November, saying we weren't going to release the report. We were going to actually keep our focus on those lessons. And we released those lessons. We continue to do that. And it's important for me, instead of navel-gazing and looking backwards and trying to relitigate 2024, I don't know about you, John, but I don't have a time machine. I don't think you do. No one does. So we can't change what happened in 24. The only thing we can do is actually change what happens in the future, including the 26 election cycle, 28 and beyond. That means we do need to learn the lessons. We need to make sure they help inform our decisions that we're making. And we've been releasing those. We released them just a couple months ago in our playbook, which if you want to look at that, go to dnc.org/playbook, and you can get an example of some of the lessons. We've been releasing them with our donors and with activists and party leaders. We've been talking about what those lessons are, and we've actually been putting those lessons into action. And so it's not completely accurate to say that we didn't release that. Where we're keeping our focus is on the lessons that can actually help us win.
Okay, so kind of a political response. I don't know if I feel like he directly answered the confrontational question from the other guy's John, right? Now, the question is, are we going to continue doing like a somewhat confrontational interview and we're going to go to the next thing? Or is this going to be like a hostile, aggressive interview and he's going to tell him he didn't answer it, bring back up the quote again and force answer it. Let's find out. I haven't watched this yet, so I have no idea. Maybe they'll just go on. I don't know.
But on this show in August, you told me this about releasing the review, quote,
God damn, we're in hostile interview territory. All right. So they do know how to do it. Okay. Woo.
You have to do it to give people who invested so much time, energy, and money a sense of what happened and why we lost.
Correct.
Especially why we lost. So what changed between August and December? I understand there are lessons, but those are not the full report. Why not release the full report? What's in the report that you wouldn't want?
Well, first off, there's no smoking gun in the report. And I know that's what everyone's so eager to learn. The smoking gun. Guess what, John?
But if there's no smoking gun, why wouldn't you just release it then?
Because we want to keep the focus on the lessons. Because what ends up happening here is that people, of course, want to weaponize the report in a way to look backwards, to point fingers, place blame in a way that actually doesn't keep us focused on the upcoming election. But instead, the navel gazing of focusing backwards actually takes us backwards. We're 189 days from this election, John. What we don't need to be focused on.
I do agree. I don't know why they wouldn't just release it unless, like, is it... Like, is there something about how they should have been, like, harsher on Israel so they feel stupid or something or don't want to give credit to some political... Or, like, I don't know why you wouldn't release it. I have no idea why.
And is actually relitigating 2024. What we need to do is learn the lessons of 24 and the years preceding that can help us win this upcoming election. That's why we've been releasing them. That's why we've been focused in on actually putting those lessons into action. And there's nothing that I told you in August that is inaccurate. We've been sharing those lessons out with donors. We've been talking about this with party leaders and activists and others and organizations and campaigns. It's no surprise to, and I get it. I get why people are obsessed with it, because there's various groups and organizations and people who think there's some sort of smoking gun in there. Guess what, John? In the third closest presidential election in the last 100 years,
what's the worst possible thing they think could be in the report? I feel like there's a ton of things that could be in there that could be bad. It could be that there are smoking guns that are like, oh, you definitely should have had an open primary or nominated Bernie Sanders or given more credence to the Palestinian people or whatever, right? It could be that. Or it could be that there's not a smoking gun, but there's like enough there for somebody to take a bite out of. So for instance, they might have something that shows that like Kamala had the potential to gain with some voters if she would have softened her language on Palestine or something like that, to where he's being honest and it wasn't that much of a like determining factor, but it's enough there that they could take a bite out of it and be like, oh my God, look, they're bearing it even more. They could have been more honest about it. Like in my opinion, the whole Epstein file thing is like, for the Epstein files, I don't think Trump and his friends are all rapists, but it just makes them all look really bad. So they want to bury it. Like, it could be something like that. I don't know what the actual reason is. Obviously, I'm not privy to any of these reports, but maybe. I don't know. The real thing is that Ken Martin shouldn't have said whatever he said in 2016 or 2024 or whatever. I don't know why you would make that kind of commitment or statement. That's fucking stupid. Kind of like with Biden. The issue with Biden was never that he pardoned Hunter Biden. He should have, and he was morally correct to do so. But Joe Biden shouldn't have said that he would have never pardoned him. That was the mistake. Not pardoning him. It was trying to make some commitment to not pardoning him, I think.
There's nothing that's going to impact that election.
But why did you spend the money going to 50 states, doing all these interviews, doing all this stuff, and doing this report in the first place, if you weren't going to release the full results of it? Like, why? I don't get why just you and some of the senior DNC people get to see it, but not most of the DNC members who are, state party chairs. I mean, you know, more than a dozen DNC members told NBC just the other week they want it released, including Congresswoman Delia Ramirez and North Carolina Democratic Party Chair Anderson Clayton. And Anderson said, quote, genuinely, what did you all find that we did not? How did you answer that question?
I know you said it already, but it's disgusting that we can say these people can do tough interviews. In fact, this is clearly hostile. Yeah. And to be clear, I appreciate this. I think we should be able to do these types of interviews. I think this is good journalism. But it only ever happens against the center left. Only and always against the center left. Look, where the fuck was any of this with Hassan? So Hassan, I see here that you said you wanted to, that every Jew Zionist inbred fuck is a fucking pig. And like, I know this is probably like out of context, right? So can you explain this, Hassan?
Yeah. oink, oink, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, like as a joke. Yeah, so in this next out of context quote, saw you at the gym yesterday, by the way, buddy. You were looking super hot. So in this next, like, Jesus fucking slip Christ, what the fuck is going on here? But he can do a tough interview. That's good. Just not for his friends, I guess. Fucking loser. God, fuck me, dude.
What we found is the things we've been telling them, both Anderson, Delia, other folks who have concerns about it. We've shared all of the lessons with them, right? And so again, I think, John, the reality is you're proving my point here, right? People are obsessed about this in a way that continues to turn them away from wanting to focus on the lessons and instead thinking that there's some sort of smoking gun in here that's going to give them the one single reason that Kamala Harris lost the election, or the one single thing that we should have done differently that's going to actually help us win in the future. There is no one single thing that cost Kamala the election. There is no one single thing that we can do to help us win the upcoming election. There's a number of lessons for sure that will help us win in 26 and beyond. But again, I understand what you're saying, John. We'll just have to agree to disagree on this because, you know, we have already started to put those lessons into action. I'm proud of the results of what we've seen over the last year and a half since I've been elected. We have significant wind at our back, and we're going to continue to move forward. And we're going to continue to put those lessons we've learned into action, and I hope others will start to do the same.
I think if you're going to go into the podcast world, maybe— I think you gotta have it. I'm sorry. I don't know how to, that sounds mean. I just don't think Ken Martin has it. Like, these are politician answers that you're giving for like a CNN or Fox News interview. Like, these are all kind of like sound, these are really good. Like, if you have good media training and you're prepping for like mainstream media interviews or whatever, Ken Martin is giving perfect answers. For a podcast though, this ain't it. You just sound like a politician who's kind of rambling and giving very politically correct, you know, carrying the fucking line or whatever answers. I don't know. Yeah.
And we're going to continue to put those lessons we've learned into action, and I hope others will start to do the same.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, because it certainly doesn't seem like anyone's looking for one single silver bullet, because it's a 200-page...
What a fucking lie. Annie is a fucking liar. I respect it. I respect that he's a snake fuck liar. You're acting like a whole contingent right now of the far left movement online isn't looking for one silver Jew-coded bullet from this fucking report. Are you, what, like, how slimy? Okay, dude. Gee, dude, Hunter was so fucking correct. We need a fucking Biden-Harris ticket or a Biden-Clinton ticket. Oh my fucking God. We need a Hunter Biden, Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris. They need to be a thruple. Okay. Actually, fuck it. Delete what I just said. Is Kamala Harris, is she married? She's like kids or whatever, right? I don't give a fuck. Hunter needs to marry one of them, Hillary or Kamala, first lady, and then the other can be VP. That's what we need. Or fucking Hunter Biden can be first man or whatever. We haven't had one of those yet, right? And Kamala or Clinton can run. That's what we fucking need. And then these are the people that we go. No, I'm just kidding.
Going to take. And if you're going to operationalize it, then I think the question is, like, are you operationalizing it on behalf of people who didn't actually get to see the report? So, like, do they know what they're agreeing to when they operationalize lessons from the report if they haven't been able to read the report?
John, you're proving the point.
What's the point? I mean,
the point is the obsession on the report without actually focusing in on the lessons. People believe there's some sort of magic silver bullet in there that's going to solve all of our ills at the Democratic Party. There's not. Yeah. I don't think
there's going to be a magic silver bullet, though. Who thinks that? No one thinks it's good. No one thinks there's a magic silver bullet. It's a 200-page report. You interviewed people in 50 states. You spent a lot of donor money on it. I think people are probably wondering, like,
we didn't spend a lot of donor money on that, and that's just inaccurate.
You spent a couple hundred thousand dollars on it, right?
No, we did not.
It was a free report.
We did not spend a couple hundred thousand dollars on that. The person and people who are,
even if they did, politics. Couple hundred thousand dollars? That's not a lot of donor money. What? A lot of donor money? Couple hundred thousand? Okay. Whatever. And it sounds like he's saying it wasn't even that much, but
involved in it. We're not paid to do this work. And so I will just say that's inaccurate, John. So I appreciate, I'm not sure where you would even get that number. And so do you have some sort of record that shows we spent any money on that?
Oh shit. Did he make it the fuck up?
I've seen reporting that you did spend money on it, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Okay, now he's seen reporting that they've spent money on it. Before it was a lot of money, but I don't know. Okay.
Well, that's inaccurate, okay? So, the person we asked to do this is an unpaid advisor to the DNC. And so I appreciate where it's coming from, John, but let's just trade in facts on this, right? The reality is we did talk to, hundreds of people. It was an exhaustive exercise to really get at what are those key lessons. And I want to be very clear. There's nothing that changed from what I said on the campaign trail to now, which is
when you were on the campaign trail and you talked about definitely releasing an autopsy and criticized the DNC for not releasing.
Damn, Sanders again on the quote.
Woo! An autopsy in 2016. You thought I'm going to do one, but only release certain lessons and not the full report.
No, what I said at the time is exactly what I've been saying now, which is we have to focus on the things that help us win the future elections. We have to focus on those lessons. We have to do this exercise, by the way, of conducting this analysis so that we actually learn what happened, not just in 24, but in the years preceding that, John. And so that's where our focus is. I mean, the challenge is, you know, think about this as an executive summary of a, you know, like you said, a 200-page document. And I think what we've put together and what we learn, we are sharing with people. So they have full insight into what we actually need to course correct on as we go into these final 189 days left and into the future. So again,
are you going to release? You mentioned an executive summary. Are you going to release an official executive summary? Make that public.
We've been releasing that, John. That's what I've been saying to you.
You said lesson. There's the Democratic playbook, the playbook that you said you can sign up for in DNC for sure. But I know that NBC News said that before Easter, about a month ago, you told DNC officers on a call to expect an executive summary in short order. Officers on that call told NBC they still haven't received one. You told a North Carolina DNC member who was drafting a resolution to force the report's release that a summary was forthcoming, and he backed off based on that promise. So you've been saying in coming weeks on the executive, like, when can people expect
an executive summary? Sharing that with a number of folks, and we'll continue to share it with folks, including the DNC and other people. The reality is we're not hiding the ball on this. We have been sharing those things out. Happy to get you over, what we have been sharing out, John. The reality is that there's no smoking gun here. And as much as people would like to keep focusing in on those pieces, what they're ignoring is that we're sharing out the lessons. We have been incorporating those, and we have actually been putting those lessons into action, which I'm most proud of. Hmm. Look, we're 189 days away from this election. You said on the top end of this that what you care most about is helping us to win elections. Okay.
We need the report to do that.
Let's focus on the elections coming up, John. You know what?
I want to focus on winning them. I feel like an autopsy on what went wrong when we lost the popular vote in all those states in 2024, and figuring out what went wrong based on a big report is pretty important for everyone to know. Yeah.
I've spent my entire career, John, as you know, since 1990, winning elections up and down the ballot, both in Minnesota and across the country.
I appreciate that.
And I'm happy to talk to you about winning elections. If you want to actually talk about elections, I'm happy to talk to you about those. But again, you're proving the point that I think many folks, are frustrated in this party, which is people want to turn backwards to relitigate the 2024 election. To point fingers, to place blame, to
enable. I think you want to learn lessons, like you said.
Well, listen, to win elections, if they want to win elections, I'm happy to share what we learned in the way of the lessons on why we lost the 24 election and the years preceding that. Happy to share those. We're sharing those out with everyone. But again, this conversation doesn't help us actually win elections. All it does is continue to turn people inward. What we need to do is focus on the work we need to do in the 189 days. Learn the lessons. And I'm happy to go over what those lessons are. I'm happy to go over them with anyone who wants to talk about them, John.
Get them,
but
John.
What I'm not going to do is release a report that turns everyone backwards, trying to either point fingers or place blame, and actually ignore their own responsibility in helping us to fix the situation. The reality is, we all have a responsibility. Yourself, myself, everyone, actually learning those lessons, focusing on the upcoming election, putting them into action so we don't repeat those same mistakes.
Come on, John.
That's what we've been focused on.
Don't let him get you.
Steve Schell, longtime Democratic strategist who's run Florida for the party, told the Washington Examiner that there's a, quote, financial penalty specifically tied to burying the autopsy because donors want a clear accounting before recommitting. The DNC is entering April with negative net cash on hand.
There we go.
So even on your own standard of does this help us win, Is it possible that the autopsy decision is actually costing you the money you need to win?
That's just inaccurate, John. And I'm sure you follow the campaign finance reports like I do. We raised $105 million in 2025, record amount of money for
the DNC did, or like all the Democratic Party, or
the first year.
You don't have you're not have negative cash on hand right now. You don't have debt that's made a negative cash on hand.
But we do have debt, John, and that's because I took out a loan last year to make sure we can make deep investments. You know what we've been doing, John? We've raised a record amount of money, $105 million. It's the most raised for the first year chair of any DNC chair in the history of this party.
Wow.
And you know what's great? What's great about it? We raised in 2017, which is an analogous year, a year right after a presidential loss. Tom Perez raised $40 million less than what we raised this year.
Right, he didn't have the debt that you guys have.
Yes, he did. He had $76 million in debt. And so my point to you is this, John, okay? I mean, we can trade in all of this, but let's actually trade in facts. $105 million was raised. $85 million of it came from grassroots donors, which is a record amount of grassroots donations raised in the history of the Democratic Party. That shows the energy that's out there. The average contribution is $51, by the way, John. And, you know, we raised more than any of the other committees last year. The DS, the DCCC, and I will just tell you this. All of the Republican committees raised more than the DNC. And so that's just a reality of coming out of a year when you lose the presidential election, when you're the party that's out of power. Of course, you're going to not raise as much money as the Republicans. But to suggest that we're not raising money is inaccurate. We raised $32 million. We raised $32 million in the first quarter. But what we're doing that's a little different, John, is we're spending it. We're raising it and we're spending it. Because one of the lessons we learned...
You're spending more than you have. I mean, so you guys have 13.9 million cash on hand, right? I'm reading the report. 13.9 million cash on hand, 18.3 million in debt. So that's roughly negative $4.4 million. And I know it's a tough environment for the party out of power, but the DSCC and the DCCC and the Senate candidates have plenty of money. They're all doing great. So it seems like this is an issue unique to the DNC.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but I do know that trying to evaluate the success of some project based on whether or not they have cash on hand or in debt is probably one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my entire life. That doesn't really tell you much of anything. I don't know what Ken is thinking or why he hasn't brought this up, but I mean, like, regardless of your feeling on Ken Martin or the DNC or whatever else, the Democratic Party has completely fucking annihilated the Republicans in, like, special elections and shit over the past year and a half. Like, I think it might have been the worst performing year of any party ever. Hasn't it been, like, 30 or 40 seats? Like, either flipped, 35 seats flipped? To say that the DNC is doing poorly or terribly, I mean, it might be. I don't know. Maybe it is doing really bad. But I don't know if, like, them having debt is the argument for that. But, okay.
That's not accurate, John. Listen.
What part is not accurate?
The reality is we're spending money as we raise it to win elections and to build infrastructure. We have invested significant amounts of money, record investments in Virginia and New Jersey, investments in Mississippi in their state legislative races to help them flip these states, the Republican supermajority in their state legislature, investments in the Miami mayoral race to help us win a Democratic elected mayor in the first time in 30 years, investments in the PSC races in Georgia to help us win the first two non-federal elected races, statewide races in 20 years in their history. You know, investments throughout the country, up and down the ballot, and investments in infrastructure, including the largest investments ever in a 50-state party strategy, where we're making the biggest investments in building out the infrastructure of our state and local party committees, and building out the infrastructure of our state and local party committees. You know, one of the lessons we learned, by the way, John, from the last election is that we waited too long to spend money. In fact, the Republican Party, starting in 2020, right after Biden won that race, the Democratic Party packed up the campaign infrastructure. Trump and the Republicans kept going. They kept spending money. They kept organizing. They kept communicating with voters. We did not. And as a result, they had a 3.5-year-long head start and going into the 2024 election. We had 10 million Democrats who actually chose the couch instead of voting in 2024. And part of the reason why is because we weren't communicating with them early and often. What did the Democratic Party decide last year to start doing? We have our local listener program that's already engaging through year-round organizing those voters who dropped off in 2024. You have to spend money to win elections. And one of the lessons we learned is if we wait. Now, look, I know you came up in a certain time and day in politics, but the old conventional wisdom, John, it doesn't fly anymore. The old conventional wisdom is that you waited to make investments until the final 3 months of the election because that's when people were paying attention. Well, guess what? That's bullshit. It's showing. We have to start early. We have to build that infrastructure. We have to flex that muscle early of having conversations with voters so that we actually position ourselves to win. Now, are you criticizing me for spending money early? Because that seems to be what the thing is. And guess what?
No, I think it's great that you're spending money early. And I think it's very important to invest in state parties. I think a 50-state strategy is extremely important. But we're talking about two different things. We're talking about spending money and raising money. And you raised $11.4 million in March. The RNC raised double that in March. And so if you're going to spend that much money, obviously you have to also raise the money, too, because otherwise the difference between investment and just outrunning your costs and taking on a loan because of that doesn't seem like much of a difference to me.
I don't even know what he said. Is he like trying to disagree or whatever? Or I don't know what their background is in terms of business. Or you don't have to have a background in business. This just is such a weird point. Like, don't you have debt? I mean, the question is whether or not it's a good allocation of resources, right? There's a reason why people borrow money.
It's not all running our costs down because we're able to make these investments all throughout the country. And race after race in our state party infrastructure, in our local party infrastructure. You know, if we weren't able to keep up in terms of building out this infrastructure, then there would be a problem. We won over 90% of the elections on the ballot. And most of them, if not all of them, we had a direct involvement in. And I just say this to you, John, because, you know, it was a bet we made. And I get it. You know, again, all the folks in D.C., what they like to, they seem obsessed about, and they spend a lot of time thinking about is how much money do people have on hand? Versus actually, what are you doing to build out the infrastructure to win? And what is the role of a political party, John? At the end of the day, our job is to build infrastructure that our candidates can tap into, to do the things that...
Isn't the most important job of a DNC chair to go and raise money? And obviously, like...
You should have just spent less.
Job of the
Unfortunately.
DNC chair, the job of the DNC chair is singular. It's to win. And guess what I've been doing the last year and a half? Win.
True! Sorry! Regardless of your feelings on him, that is true! Democrats have been crushing it over the past year and a half in seats.
Guess what I did for 14 years in a very purple state? Win, John. Right. And I'm just telling you right now, I think you and others who continue to bet against the DNC, keep betting. Because guess what? Here's a
fucking true
reality, John. We're winning. And we're winning because I'm defying...
Right, but the investments you're making are not... Obviously, there's a difference between off-year elections and midterm elections and what it's going to take to build the kind of infrastructure.
I'm sorry. Do you think we're gearing up to lose the midterms? I mean, is that what you want to bank your current hostility on? That the midterms are not going to go well for the Democrats? Or what?
We need to win in 2028, right? I mean, I just think that's it. You've talked a lot about investing in state parties. The headline number is $20,000 a month per state. My understanding is that also includes, like, the Democratic Party of Guam and the party of the Northern Mariana Islands, who get basically the same check as Pennsylvania or Wisconsin or North Carolina. I get that every state and territory has DNC members.
What the fuck is he even arguing right now? Fuck those places.
Every one of them voted in the DNC election you won. But it's also a real chunk of money that's flowing to places without federal races. And so I just wonder if you have this much debt.
Is that the issue? I just want to say, okay, and listen, it's not even necessarily bad to ask these questions, but we are so in the fucking weeds on financials for the DNC, right? This is a crazy in-depth interview. We need to talk about the DNC. Yeah, sure. Well, we've had historic outperformance in races and everything else. You guys are in debt. Yeah, we raised a historic amount of money. We also spent a historic amount of money, but we've had historic performance gains in all of the seats that we've been running in. Okay, but have you considered the fact that you're sending about $100,000 to places like Guam and other U.S. territories where we don't actually have federal voters or whatever? Like, holy shit, we're in there. Are we going to criticize how we're filing our taxes next? Or Jesus.
Is like that the right allocation of money to be giving it to state parties in Guam and Northern Mariana Islands when, you know, Axios reported that there's also contemplating layoffs at the DNC?
There's no...
Wait, what is it? So instead of giving money to Guam or Mariana, whatever the fuck, that would save the jobs of the... I don't know. This is Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, again, John, you're just throwing out a bunch of garbage. We've never contemplated layoffs at the DNC. I haven't laid anyone off since I've been a DNC chair. Okay. And so I just want to be very clear with you again and your listeners, because you're just repeating garbage, pot shots at the DNC. I'm used to taking the pot shots, by the way, you know, and I think the mistake that you and others make is, you know, somehow... I just don't care. I came to this job for one thing, which is to win. And if it wasn't,
so you think this, but you think that state, but you think the state party allocation to like the to Guam and everything is worthwhile allocation of funds?
I think it is a worthwhile allocation, because when we organize everywhere, we can win anywhere. And it's important for us not to just focus on federal power at the expense of state and local power. This is where I'm challenging the conventional wisdom of all these smart people in Washington, D.C.
I don't know how true what I'm about to say is, but it's just something I've heard repeated from a lot of people I've been doing elections and everything with too, is that Democrats are very quick to give up everywhere whenever there's like a, it just seems too far lost, and Republicans will literally fight everywhere. They will fight tooth and nail. When the DCC feels like they've lost a seat, they're just like, ah, fuck it or whatever. And you have this thing where like governors and state races were just like over time, just all of them were rolling into more and more Republican heavy majorities across the entire country. Now, I don't know if Ken is, I mean, somebody in chat wrote earlier that his like initiative to support every state was helping to find people to run in Virginia. Apparently he made a commitment that we were going to run somebody in every single race, a Democrat in every single race, which is, if that's true, then cool. I don't know enough about the intricacies of how all this works to know if Ken Martin is truly doing an effective job or not. I mean, I will say the last year and a half has been a, you know, really good results for the Democratic Party, but
at the expense of state and local power. This is where I'm challenging the conventional wisdom of all these smart people in Washington, D.C. here, which is that the only thing that matters is control of Congress and the presidency. My job is to help us win everywhere, to build power up and down the ballot throughout the country, including in our territories. And so you and I can just disagree on whether or not those are investments that are worthwhile. I believe they are worthwhile. It's important for us to actually build power for our party and our party values everywhere there's Democrats, and we're going to continue to do that. And so whether you think that's a worthwhile investment or not, that's fine. You know, you can take your check back if you don't believe it's a good investment, John. But let me just say this. The role of the Democratic Party is to build infrastructure everywhere so that we can win. Let me give you a couple of examples of what that infrastructure is. You know, our voter file and our organizing tools and our data, every candidate, whether they're running for school board or president, relies on that. We spend over $10 million a year on that, John. That's a critical piece of the infrastructure that people rely on. Without the DNC, they would have to do that on their own, all of these candidates. Our voter protection and legal infrastructure that we build, every committee and every candidate relies on us to be out there filing lawsuits and protecting the vote. We filed over 1,000 lawsuits, which is a record number of lawsuits over the last year alone, right? Including being lead plaintiffs in many of the big lawsuits challenging Trump's executive orders. This is a piece of the infrastructure people rely on.
On that, you mentioned the voter file.
Yeah. So like on a quick thing, and I can point this out all day, right? And I can tell you, I can already see how like this all develops. I'm seeing the matrix more for all these media cycles, okay? If this was on Fox News, right, he would be getting a slop interview by Sean Hannity, and every single talking point that he's giving right now, all of these would be repeated ad nauseum from the entire center-left media apparatus. Every single person would be repeating all of these talking points, and it would be like the new marching orders for our side, but they're not going to be, because John is going to push on every single fucking thing he's saying, or just not even really acknowledge it, which is extra sad, because I'm pretty sure Ken Martin, I think, is being factually correct in everything that he's saying, and Republicans aren't. They usually just lie, or lefties don't. They just fucking lie. This was a day ago. I wonder how many sloppulist YouTube channels reviewed this talk, and it's the MAGA effect. They see it as a hostile interview. So he's the enemy. John is their team. And so I wonder if like Kyle Kulinski, Crystal Ball, Majority Report, I don't know if Hassan watched it, all the far left channels will watch this and just shred this guy to pieces and then fully back up what John is saying. Maybe, but I don't know. Well, I'll go look for some afterwards.
There's been a talk that a meaningful chunk of the DNC's debt traces to the committee buying the Harris campaign's voter file. Is that accurate? Did you guys buy the Harris campaign's voter file?
No.
That didn't happen?
No, you're talking about buying a fundraising list, but that's not a voter file.
The fundraising list.
Yeah. Did you?
These are very, very, very specific questions. God damn.
Of course we purchased that.
I was just wondering about the rationale for that, because it feels like the DNC and the Harris campaign were operating off largely the same data infrastructure during the campaign. So
confusing two things, John. Data infrastructure and fundraising list. Those are separate things. And
But even on the fundraising list, you guys didn't work off. That was additive. Their fundraising list for $6.5 million was additive to that. That was a good investment.
We purchased that list. And let me just say this, John, that that happens all the time in campaigns and elections, as you know.
Oh, I know. It's just a big chunk of money. That's why I was just wondering. Well,
but he made it sound like an exceptional thing. Oh, he's sneaky. Sneaky, sneaky. Very nice. Very, very, very sneaky.
But as you know, John, that happens all the time. So it's not unique to this DNC. It's not unique to prior DNC chairs. It's not unique to campaigns or elections. Frankly, campaigns and elections, at the end of an election, sell their list to cover their debt. And so there's nothing new about that, John. And of course, that's one of the biggest lists and the most valuable lists out there. It's a great investment for the DNC. I'm trying to actually help us raise money so we can compete, so we can win. And that was not only a great investment, it's already paid for itself, and we're glad to be able to do that. And we buy lists all the time. That's what people do in this business.
Here's the reason I'm just being so tough about all of this. I just think that what I have seen happen before,
and then it's always the same fucking excuse. But keep in mind, for the winners in our media ecosystem, which are the conservatives, they don't ever have this attitude. When was the last time Trump came on and they're like, Mr. President, I'm sorry I'm being so harsh on you, but we need to win, Mr. President. That's why I'm being so harsh.
Is especially in off-year elections, midterm elections, when we have the wind at our back, and I feel great about the midterms. I feel really excited about the off-year elections, too, as we head towards 2028. Look, I saw this in 2022. We did well enough in the midterms, and Democratic insiders, Biden administration, everyone else were saying, you know what? This proves that we're going to win in 2024 and we're in great shape. And I just, and God, I hope so, because I think we need to win 2028 more than anything. But it is, it concerns me that I see two things. One, this autopsy, which you campaigned on releasing, and I know you're releasing lessons, but are hiding still plenty of the details in the autopsy. And I just can't figure out what details that are in there that you don't want out there because you don't trust people with, because they're going to, I guess, argue about them.
Damn.
Because it feels like we
also remember the difference between layup questions for Hassan versus like challenging questions for this guy, right? For Hassan, it's like, so I see here that you were saying that wealthy schoolgirls should be raped more than the poor ones, but like, this is, you know, I'm sure you stream a ton and this is like probably out of context and, you know, like, yeah, so go ahead. Can you please speak to that? Meanwhile, for Ken Martin, who has had a phenomenal performance, I think we could say the Democratic Party's had a phenomenal performance over the past year and a half. So I'm just curious. I noticed, so you haven't released this list. Is it because you're fucking terrified of people getting a little bit of the goddamn motherfucking truth? Is that what your issue is? You don't trust us to have the fucking facts? Is that the problem, Ken Martin? You don't trust us to have the fucking facts? It's like, Jesus Christ.
Are hiding still plenty of the details in the autopsy, and I just can't figure out what details that are in there that you don't want out there because you don't trust people with, because they're going to, I guess, argue about them? Because it feels like we really need a robust discussion about where the party's headed, not just pundits like me, but the state party chairs and the DNC committee members who are asking you to release it. They're asking you to release it.
I know you want to keep focusing on that, and that's fine.
Well, I do think that affects the fundraising isn't going well either. So I feel like
the fundraising isn't going well after he said they've raised more money in a year than they have in any previous year ever. You're basing the fact that their fundraising was poor because they have debt, because they spent more money?
It's just completely inaccurate, John.
You had a great first year in 2025.
And we've had a great first quarter. $32 million we raised in the first quarter. We raised $4 million in March than Tom Perez did in 2018. That's excluding debt.
What are you talking? What is this? What is this analysis? What? This is the equivalent to like,
I noticed at Facebook, I think they lost money. You guys actually spent more than you made last year. So
I just want to say, in terms of earners, not to brag, but I made more money than Facebook last year. Technically speaking, okay, I made more money than Facebook. They were like negative like $42 billion. I made more money. Like, what the fuck kind of analysis is this? Holy shit.
And more cash on hand than Tom Perez did.
But you're excluding debt. You don't have 50% more cash on hand if you include your debt.
I don't think that's what cash on hand means. It's total assets less liabilities. It just means how much cash you can spend, right?
John, we do. Because at the end of the day, we can pay that debt off whenever the hell we want. I could hold that debt until the end of the year. So the reality is there's nothing that's holding me back in terms of the cash I have, the cash on hand I have to spend it on elections. I can carry that debt all the way through the end of this year and beyond if I want. So that's just inaccurate. I know you know campaigns, but you're just spewing stuff out that's just wrong.
I'm saying that I saw that talking point about 50% more, and it's based on excluding the debt.
We raised $32 million in the first quarter, okay? We have $15 million on hand. We're able to spend that money on continuing to build our infrastructure and to help us win elections, okay? And we've continued to raise money. Nothing has slowed down. In fact, the fundraising has picked up significantly since even the last November's elections in 2025. So, listen.
And I know the grassroots fundraising has been great. I know that.
I wonder what they cut there. I doubt that they would actually do, like, malicious cuts. That would be crazy. But there was an edit there, right?
25. So, listen.
And I know the grassroots fundraising has been great. I know that. I concede that for sure. There's plenty of reports about this. I've talked to plenty of people about this, that a lot of the big donors still have not come off the sidelines. And part of the reason is that there's a trust issue based.
Like, what are we complaining about here? There are big donors that haven't come off the sidelines. So the issue is what? Raising money? Because it sounds like they've had historic fundraising years and this is a historic fundraising quarter. So I don't understand. He needs to do something different for the donors, even though he's raising more money than they've ever raised in the history of all of the DNC. I don't understand. What is the argument here? Also, I thought we hated donors.
Partly on the autopsy.
Yeah, I'm just not seeing that, John, and I appreciate that. And you know, I don't believe that to be the case. Maybe you're talking to donors that I'm not. I highly doubt it. But the donors I'm talking to who are holding back, they're not holding back because they're frustrated with me. And they're not holding back because they're frustrated with the DNC. Just the opposite. And so I think people see that we are actually putting into action the lessons we've learned.
Who are they frustrated
with? We're actually building the infrastructure we need. We're competing up in the down the ballot. We're making the investments throughout the country to make sure that we're organizing everywhere. I mean, part of the challenge, John, is we've talked about this on the show before, that this party for years, and this is why I ran for it, has had a very myopic vision of just focusing in on one campaign cycle, one candidate, one campaign at the expense of a long-term strategy. And for us to break out of that, we actually have to have a long-term strategy, and that requires us to build through the lens of building long-term infrastructure. And so, you know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you throw all your eggs into one basket, which is one campaign or one campaign cycle, then you've built nothing permanent. Or if you do as I am, right, which is to start building the permanent infrastructure we need to have a long-term strategy, then you get blamed because you don't have enough cash on hand to compete with the Republicans. Well, the reality is we've been competing with the Republicans and building the long-term infrastructure at the same time. And so what I would ask you to do is just think about this differently. The old conventional wisdom of how we do campaigns, I came in here, and as I said, I'm challenging that conventional wisdom. I'm challenging the idea that we just invest in the final 3 months at the expense of a long-term strategy. I'm challenging the conventional wisdom that we just focus on federal power at the expense of state and local power, right? I am challenging the conventional wisdom that we just focus on seven battleground states at the expense of the rest of this country. So I get that frustrates people, John. But guess what? It will pay dividends. It already is, both in the short term, and it will pay dividends in the long term as this map shifts underneath of our feet in the next 4 to 6 years. So I say all this. I get where your frustration comes from, right? But as I said, you know, and
hit
I get
with
it.
The debt talking
you know,
point.
There were people,
hit
including you and others, one. Who were in a different place on this chairs race. But since I've come here, I have won. And you can't ignore that fact. We have won. I would go and ask you to talk to Eileen Higgins, the mayor of Miami. I would go and ask you to talk to Alicia Johnson and Peter Hubbard, the new PSC commissioners in Georgia. I would go and ask you to talk to Mikey Sherrill in New Jersey. I would go and ask you and talk to Abigail Spanberger in Virginia. I would go to ask you to talk to Taylor Rimet in Fort Worth, Texas,
damn.
And many, many other
damn.
Campaigns and candidates that we've helped
damn.
Over the course of the last year and a half. Because what they will tell you is that the DNC was critically involved in those races. Was that a good investment? I suppose by some people's standards, no, because we're not hoarding our money for the November election to win back control of Congress. Well, guess what?
I want to make sure you guys have enough money, and I know there's, you know, fundraising.
That's your only concern? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Raising issues that you're being, RNC raised nearly double than you guys, so I want to make sure you have enough money. And, you know, the DS and the D-Trip and everyone else and the Senate candidates are raising a whole bunch of money and matching Republicans, so I just want to make sure you guys have the money.
They're not matching Republicans.
As well.
There's not matching Republicans. Every Republican committee outraised their counterpart. The RNC.
Right. Not by double as with you guys in the RNC, but
But you were just completely and totally fucking factually wrong before, though, right? Didn't you just get completely fucking anally gaped here by that comment that he just made? This is like one of the things, because I always get rattled if I fuck a fact up or if somebody says something that totally contradicts what I say, because then I have to think, like, is this person lying to me or was I actually completely wrong here? I got to think of the research I did. I got to think of what research they've done. Are they using a talking point? Right. But these guys, the shameless people, they just fucking steamroll right on through. Okay.
Matching Republicans, so I just want to make sure you guys have the money.
They're not matching Republicans.
As well.
There's not matching Republicans. Every Republican committee outraised their counterpart. The RNC.
Right. Not by double as with you guys in the RNC, but I hear you.
They didn't outraise us by double either. We raised $32 million.
Okay, it wasn't right on that.
To their $56 million or $54 million.
I'm going by the March numbers, which is 11 to 21, but I hear you. All right.
Even 11 to 21 is not technically double, but March for 1 month? You're cherry picking a single month? Is that what we're worried about? Was just 1 month?
Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you answering these questions. And I just, I do hope it was interesting to learn that you do still plan on releasing an executive summary of the full after action report publicly to people who want it. That is coming soon, I guess.
Did he say that?
We've been releasing
it. He said they've been releasing it. Not that they're releasing anything fundamentally different than what they've been releasing, but good one.
Continue to release those.
We've been releasing them. You've been releasing
an
executive summary, or you've been doing it?
It's not an executive summary. That's not what he's looking for. But
we've been releasing those lessons. The lessons are the summary. We've been releasing those since the beginning of this year, in briefing after briefing. We published them in our playbook, as I mentioned. We'll continue to release them. And so, if anyone wants to see some of that work already, go to dnc.org. Back and mentioned, we'll continue to release
them.
There's
another edit.
So, if in briefing,
there's another edit there. I'm only interested in the edits because it was such a contentious interview, and now it makes me wonder. But that was another edit out there.
lessons. The lessons are the summary. That's, we've been releasing those since the beginning of this year, in briefing after briefing. We've published them in our playbook, as I mentioned. We'll continue to release them. And so if anyone wants to see some of that work already, go to dnc.org/playbook, and you can see how we're already putting those lessons into action. We'll continue to do that, John. I mean, that was my commitment when I ran, and that was my commitment when we talked last, is that we were going to help make sure people understood what lessons we needed to learn going into this election. We'll continue to do that. So
thank you. Thank you, Ken Martin, for joining as always.
Thank you, John.
Now that's what I call. Sheesh.